Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Saving money on your next project now at Menards. Don't let an outdated garage door define your home. Revamp your home's appearance with a new Ideal Garage Door. Choose from our large in-stock selection or design your own using our free Garage Door Designer. Hurry in and save big money on your next project. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
On today's show, we'll recommend an NEV for a viewer going from Toyota to Tesla, a company wanting to electrify a fleet of trucks, and a viewer considering upgrading their Tesla Model 3 SR to a Model Y. Welcome to Battery Bargains, a weekly series from the Batteries Included podcast, where we make EV recommendations to order. This is episode number 40. I'm Dominic Ioni, and I am joined today by Mr. Martin Lee from the EV News Daily podcast. If you're looking for your own battery bargains recommendation, send us a 1 minute video and or an email with a couple of short paragraphs describing your use case and budget, and we'll see about featuring your case on an upcoming episode. All right, so let's kick this thing off with our first case for today. And to be transparent, we've paraphrased these emails a bit for length and clarity. Ready to go car shopping?
Here we go.
All right. So our first email comes to us from Sid, and he writes, "Hi, Bip." That's a Batteries Included podcast for new listeners. I've been buying only Toyota vehicles for the last 25 years. Love the reliability and features they are known for. I also only buy used vehicles. The $4,000 incentive is attractive. The new car will need to serve as a daily driver, getting about 300 miles per week, but will also need to go on longer over-the-road trips, which I guess are better than under-the-road trips, but I digress. Tesla seems to be the best fit for several reasons. Here are the choices I'm considering. A pristine 2016 Model S 90D, 114,000 miles with autopilot. A 2020 Model Y long range with 85,000 miles. Or a 2018 Tesla Model 3 long-range rear-wheel drive with 60,000 miles and with FSD. This one was sold by Tesla, so Tesla one-year used car warranty in effect here. Love the Model S for driving, but not crazy about long-term repair issues. The Model Y was sold by a Ford dealership and had no warranty. And with the Model 3, I could not evaluate it before taking delivery of the car. What should I choose? Sid. Well, there you go. Has it pretty much nailed down what he wants, I think, here. And just like looking at a few different, you know, the whole spread of, you know, Tesla product, basically.
Yeah, and it helps us sometimes. People write in and go, "Hey, I'd like an EV, and my budget is between 20 and 50 grand, you know, and I want to poodle around town, but go on long road trips." And you're like, "Okay, well, we can help out with that." So, but Sid, I like your style. You've narrowed it down. You want a Tesla. Now you want to have a little discussion about it with the friends here on the podcast. So I like that.
So which of these choices would you go for?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can kick it off. So the most I think the most interesting one is a 2016 Model S 90D. I had one of those for a period of time, not a 2016. It was a little later, I think. But the 90D was more powerful than I could possibly need. And, you know, I've read articles in the past from automotive journalists saying, oh, you know, electric vehicles are a one-trick pony and you get really tired of stomping on the loud pedal and or quiet pedal, that should be, and it gets old really quickly. Let me tell you, Sid, driving a Model S 90D never got old to me. You know, that instant burst of acceleration, I still love it all these years later. So hey, maybe that's just me. I don't need the pops and the noise and the bangs to, I don't know, feel like a man or a car driver or whatever. Anyway, so it's really interesting because there's so many good things like excellent driving performance, great range, depending on battery deg, which we don't think is a problem with old Teslas. So many data points coming in on that. Not only the million mile Teslas and the ones that have done more, but you know, almost 300 miles range, and you'll see some deg, but not a huge amount. Very spacious, great cargo space, supercharger network. Came with autopilot. Let's get into that. So higher mileage cars could mean more wear and tear. So yeah, so it's true. There's articles out there. You'll see the YouTube videos, the blogs about the million mile Teslas. And they're like, oh, I've only had three batteries and four drive motors. It's done a million miles. You're like, it's not the same car. It's Trigger's Broom. That's probably a UK reference, Trigger's Broom. But I think that is...
I have no idea what that is.
It spans the Atlantic. I'm sure that you have a version of that phrase. So only fools and horses, famous TV show here. Trigger was a road sweeper in that sitcom in the 1970s and 80s, I think it was. And he says to Del Boy that he's been using the same broom for 10 years. Maybe it was 20. I've seen the scene many times. And he goes, yeah, I've only had like six heads and five handles. It's the same broom. And I'm sure there's a version of that in every culture. And so, you know, so many of these Teslas are Trigger's Broom. And you're like, oh, come on. So, yes, there are issues, right, with older Teslas. Long-term reliability, however, largely, I wouldn't worry too much. Get third-party warranty products as well. And I'm not an expert on those. I have got one on my Polestar because it's just ticked over 3 years old now, or 4 years old, I think. I got an original Polestar too. So I have got an extended warranty on that, which covers me for everything that Polestar might grumble about. And it wasn't expensive. And I bought one for 2 years. So 2016 Model S 90D, what did that have? So I think in the beginning of that year, you had AP1, which stands for Autopilot 1, hardware version, the computers. I think in 2016 was when around then the US cars would have gone to AP2, Autopilot 2.0. So the additional cameras, additional sensors, more advanced features. Regarding the updates, yes, it can be done. If you're buying one that hasn't had the upgrade, the few things to think about. So you want to have a look at MCU upgrade if it hasn't been done already. So MCU is Media Control Unit. And so MCU1 is what Teslas came with. And honestly, it's sluggish. It's okay, but snappiness, map loading, data speed, all of that, you want MCU2. You can get that upgraded. You can get more performance out of the touchscreen. You get new touchscreens. And you can do video streaming, Tesla Arcade, etc. Then if you want to get into full self-driving, you get into the weeds a little bit because you can upgrade the hardware for FSD if you want to subscribe to that or even buy it. You'd subscribe to it. Everyone would subscribe to it, right? Which involves upgrading to hardware 3, HW3, right, which is needed for FSD. They're different things. And so you can do the upgrade. I think there's also a $1,000 upgrade in the app, which you can take into service and they'll put the new cameras in. I'm not a Tesla expert. So someone who lives deep in the world of the Tesla Motors Club forum can probably correct me on what I've got wrong there. So that's why I love that suggestion. Model Y, long range. Again, 300 miles of range, give or take, depending on how you drive it. Great acceleration, great trips for family, a little bit less cargo space, no warranty from the Ford dealership there you mentioned, and a 2018 long range rear wheel drive. So again, you're knocking on 300 miles, you've got some FSD capability there, which will come out of the box, and that comes as a CPO car, which is certified pre-owned. So you get something from Tesla, you get more peace of mind with their warranty. Bear in mind that if you buy, there's so many things to get into here. Sorry, I've been talking for ages, Dom. If you buy a CPO from Tesla, they strip out any grandfathered free charging. If you buy a car from somebody privately or a dealer privately, there's a chance it may come with unlimited free supercharging because when they get those cars back, they strip it out at Tesla. They just turn the feature off. They can't, as far as I know, legally turn that feature off if you just do a private sale. And so that might be useful or not to you. What would I go with? Probably a Model 3 long range rear wheel drive. I think that's a sweet spot for you. But the Model S is really interesting if you want to get into that world.
All right. Well. Well.
Sorry, so, I just talked for ages.
No. So I was just thinking, so Model S in the 2016 AP, actually, so it changed from AP1 to AP2 in 2016 around April-ish sometime.
Okay.
So it could be a car with AP1, but it's probably AP2. But that's got 114,000 miles on it, I believe you said. So yeah, that's like a lot of miles in an older car. Unless it's like incredibly good deal, I probably would stay away from that. And the Model Y is a 2020, which is kind of nice. It's pretty modern. It's probably got hardware 3, and a long range, 85,000 miles. And I'm not really a big Tesla Model Y fan. I haven't actually driven one yet, but I've been in the passenger a few times. I just feel like awkward in the seat. But it's not really my favorite. But the Tesla Model 3. So I have this exact same car that he's looking at, basically.
Of course.
It's got the, and since it has a warranty, I would definitely kind of lean this way.
You didn't get a Tesla warranty with yours.
I've got the same amount of miles. I got like just 60,800 miles on mine right now, and that's what they're looking for. This one, it didn't say what size wheels, but mine has the 19-inch wheels on it. It's a little bit of a firmer, harsher ride. Hopefully it has 18-inch wheels, because I think that's a much better experience, and you get more range with that, because although it's like a long range, my range, I don't know, practically speaking, you know, 220 miles is where I'm stopping to charge at, basically. You know, I'll have a bunch of, some buffer. I could go farther, but, you know, 220 miles is about how far I will go without charging over long trips. Okay. So 18-inch wheels would add, you know, 20 miles or whatever, something like that to that. And it has like a 1-year warranty. So it's kind of, and it's got the lowest miles of these three vehicles. It was 60,000, right, which is what I have. So, and it's coming from Tesla. So you got to assume that it's, you know, everything is kind of buttoned down. Right. So when I got mine, I got mine sight unseen, and it ended up having what they call PCS, was failing, and it's still failing. I think I might be about to put that in the service, actually. We just have a service center opened up in my town. But that's like a, you know, it's going to be like close to $2,000 worth of labor and everything, basically. But this car should not have that, and it has a warranty. So I would not worry about, you know, dropping, flying, or whatever you had to do, getting to where you need to get to, get the car, and then drive it back home. I would not worry about that at all. I thought it was, I really enjoy the Model 3. It's kind of, and I think it's a good driving car. It handles well. It has great sight lines. Not everyone likes the seats. I love the seats. Some people, not so much. So it'd be nice if you could go and, you know, test drive one now. But now if you go to a Tesla store, you're going to try the Highland. And the seats have changed over time as well. So the 2018 seats are not quite the same as like the 2021 seats, you know. But anyway, yeah, that's just where I would go to for that. In this particular case.
I agree.
All right. So our next email, this is a good one. This one's tricky. Our next email comes to us from Scott. And he says, "Hello, gents. Thanks for bringing your passion to the masses. I personally enjoy the battery bargains episodes while tooling around South Florida in our company-owned Tesla Model X, still slamming on the brakes with FSD software 12.3.6. Please help us plan the phase-out of our ICE vehicles." So he has a few different ICE vehicles here, and actually, they have a Cybertruck as well. He didn't. I've expurgated that from the email, but that's part of the email. So he goes on. So he starts listing the different vehicles he has, and so the F450 with 250,000 miles, with its towing capacity and versatile flatbed, is number one priority for replacement. It gets used about 3 times a week, with less than 150 miles driven per day, and no more than 4 passengers. Usually, it's just a driver plus one. The Bighorn truck, with 160,000 miles, is number two priority for replacement. It's usually driven more than 200 miles per day between multiple job sites by just one person, and is garaged at an employee's home far from the office. Can't charge overnight. They live in an apartment. The Tradesman truck, with 125,000 miles, is number three for priority. It's driven 150 miles every weekday and is parked at the office overnight. It's usually driven solo. We want longevity, reliability, and simplicity of ownership. They don't need to be new or pretty, just bare bones workhorses. Our preferred purchases would be in cash for the biggest discount on used vehicles with low mileage. For Tom, there are two 48-amp Tesla wall chargers installed at the office. Assuming we purchase a CCS vehicle, what adapters should we consider? Huge thanks in advance to the BB crew. Best regards, Scott. All right.
Oh, a lot in here.
So there's a lot here. So want me to start this one?
Yeah, because we don't get the Ford F-450 here, obviously.
Right.
Because it would take up two lanes of our roads.
That's a tough one to replace, really, with an electric vehicle, simply because it has no one's gotten around to electrifying that part of the market yet. You can get bigger trucks, but those are like box trucks or semi-tractors, or you can get regular smaller trucks, like the regular pickup truck that we know about. The closest thing available right now maybe it would be the Cybertruck, which they have, which is rated for, it can tow up to 11,000 pounds, but you can only tow like 90 to 100 miles if you have like a full load on there. Jerry Rig Everything has a video where he does that, actually. He has a, loads it up to max capacity, his flatbed trailer with, a Hummer on it, like the old military Hummer, and he drives it. I think he got around 90 miles. The Ford F-150 Lightning max towing is 10,000 pounds if you have the max trailer tow package. The Chevy Silverado can tow 10,000 pounds as well. The most capable truck towing wise is going to be the Ram Rev, which will be able to tow 14,000 pounds, but that's with a smaller battery. It's got two battery options for some reason. Oh yeah, it's got the smaller battery option has a larger towing capacity because it can handle more payload. But the big battery will be rated for less than that. But that's a brand new truck and it's Ram's first EV, so we don't know about reliability. So that could be an issue for some. So my recommendation, there's not really a good replacement for the 450. This is like a huge, the payload on that is like crazy. The towing, it can tow like 30,000 pounds with a regular setup. And then if you have a gooseneck, that little thing that sits in the bed, kind of trailer hitch, then it can tow up to 40,000 pounds. And just nothing is getting close to that. Like the Ram Rev at 14,000 pounds towing is like as close as you can get with that. And then nothing with a flatbed. So the only thing I would think is, if you could pull a trailer with a flatbed trailer, maybe that would substitute for like the truck platform, but then it doesn't have the monster towing. But maybe we don't know exactly the towing needs of this case. So there is one other vehicle out there. It's the Hummer EV, that doesn't have a very the box in it isn't, it's high up, it's kind of hard to get to, it's a bit short, so it's not super useful, the box. It's got a great frunk on it for storage, but it tows up to 12,000 pounds. And it's pretty much proven, and so I would kind of look at that. I saw one on cars.com for $84,000 to use with under 10,000 miles. So that's kind of the ballpark you would be looking at if you wanted to get a Hummer EV, which would be a blast. It's not really a work truck, but that's what's out there right now. So moving on to replace the Bighorn?
Yeah, Bighorn was the next one.
Yeah, I would go Chevy Silverado EV work truck. That's WT, since it has like monster range and it can go 200 miles plus a day and without leaving anybody worried about range or anything. It also charges fast too. So if you can find a big 350 kilowatt charger, at most Electrify America station installations have those, as well as the EVgo. So those charge from 10 to 80% in about 40 minutes. That's a bit long, especially since you can't charge at, the employee can't charge at home. So they're going to have to find time in their day to do that. Maybe they don't have to fill all the way up to 80% though. Maybe, filling up to 65% or 60% might be enough. And that would probably be closer to 30 minutes. So that's still, maybe during lunchtime, you could time your lunchtime with a charge session. For the Bighorn, I would go with that. Just try to see if I put down I have just one link, I think, for a truck. Yeah, Silverado. So those start around 61,000 for pretty low miles. This one I'm looking at here is 2024 with 8,109 miles, $60,989. So that's the ballpark where you can find those things starting at on the used market. And they're much more than that, brand new, of course. So that's got a lot of depreciation knocked off of it. And finally, for the final one, the Tradesman, is that what they call it? Yeah. For the Tradesman, yeah. I'd suggest just a Ford F-150 Lightning with extended range battery. So it's hard to find a Pro. That's like the work truck spec in the Ford line. Is a Pro, is there like, the more bare bones kind of hardworking kind of truck? There's just not any out there with a large battery for sale right now. I think they have to be special ordered, and you can get them like that way. You can configure them that way now when you're buying them. You can get a Pro with an extended range, but on the used market, there's just not any out there right now.
Yeah. And this is the one that he doesn't mind buying bare bones with cash to get a good deal. And ironically, this would be a new one. Go talk to your fleet manager or reach out to Ford Fleet. And yeah.
They can get a 2023 Ford F-150 Lightning XLT which is going to be a little nicer, which is, the operator will appreciate that. So this one here, I had like 15,000 miles on it, 48,900. So yeah, just below 50,000. I think there's a few options you'll be able to find just below 50, but they'll be, not the bare bones. Brennan C. White says, if you have a fleet account, a 150 Pro extended range could be an option as well. If you want to buy a new one, I guess, that's definitely an option. I believe I spec one last night, and I put the max towing package on it, and it was coming up to, I think it was like $69,000. So, it's going to be probably $20,000 over like this used XLT basically that you'd be otherwise getting. So I'm not really sure if that's, I would just lean XLT, especially you have to find one with a tow pack. I mean, if you need towing, definitely look for that max towing package, because that's it gives you extra cooling, I believe, on the powertrain as well. I think Tom has that on his, and he highly recommends having that option. So that's what I got. Oh, for the charging at the office, he needs a Tesla to J1772 adapter, and you could get one online. Just search for Tesla. You could put NAX or J3400 to J1772 adapter, and you'll find a bunch of options. Electron has a lot. That's a decent name. I wouldn't go with a completely no name brand off of a major e-retailer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think, Martin?
Well, we don't get the Ford F-450 here, and there isn't a direct EV replacement for that segment of vehicle yet, as you said. But, I think the Silverado EV is good. It charges 350 kilowatts over 400 miles of range. You'll just be stopping a lot to charge. So it could be that actually some vehicles need to run on a fuel that has, a very high energy density, and that could be diesel, for you. And there just could be 5% of vehicles left in the future that have a different type of fuel to EV, if solid state batteries or whatever don't come through. And we need to use hydrogen or something like for commercial vehicles. We don't know what the future looks like yet, but you don't have to go EV with everything. But 80 amp onboard charger, so you can charge quickly at home, and really quick DC fast charging. Nice charging curve there at 100 miles in 10 minutes on a 800 volt charger. So lovely charging curve on that. You'll be pulling into the 300s, way past 30%, I think, on that platform. For the Bighorn, that can't charge at home, can it? So, Rivian R1T has got tons of range, really fast charging. And for the Tradesman, have a look at that. you know, base Ford F-150 Lightning with a big battery. And if it's not urgent, because we work down the priority list. So if it's worth waiting for, we don't know how good it's going to be and reliability and things like that, but they're using some pretty rock solid components in terms of the engine choice they've made. The 2025 Ram 1500 Ram Charger is a plug-in hybrid truck. So 92 kilowatt hour battery, but a 3.6 liter V6, which acts as a generator. And so that then extends the range of the battery. So we don't know how good it's going to be, what it's going to, you know, what it's going to do, but it's the most extreme example yet, I think, we've seen of a BMW i3. So that range extended battery, almost 100 kilowatt hour battery on its own is pretty juicy, but you're only going to get 100 miles of range out of that in a, you know, in a truck. So then a range extender is probably going to, I think they say 690 miles, but that's a moving target, isn't it? Maybe 150 miles on battery power and 700 miles in total. So sort of dual motor, loads of power, 14,000 pounds of towing, you know, on that. And it should support very fast DC fast charging as well, but that could be your F450 replacement. But that was the one you put at the top of the list, which is the most urgent, and it's not coming out for, you know, till 2025. But it's worth looking at. That's me.
So Brendan has an interesting suggestion here, just talking about the 2025 Silverado 2WT. So the work truck that comes in 2WT, 3WT, 4WT, and those are differentiated by the size of the battery. The higher the number, the bigger the battery. So the 2WT would, he says, Brendan, would still be the best option, though. It will have at least 12,500 pounds of towing with around 300 miles of range at under 60,000. So that's,
yeah, look at that.
That's definitely worth a look for sure. Yeah, that's a good shout. I just like the idea of, I don't know if they're, how much they're towing really, but I just know if they were, they could go 200 miles, you know, with it on this, with the Silverado, and yeah. Should be pretty good there, but
looks good.
Right. Right. So let's moving on. Oh yeah. So our final email comes to us from Shahad. He writes, I have a twist on the typical battery bargains ask. I currently have a 2019 Tesla Model 3 SR, which works great, other than trunk space. Yes, the mythical, the actual mythical SR, not SR Plus. So the SR stands for short range. No, it probably wasn't worth the savings since it was only $2,000 less after having to pay for autopilot versus it being included in SR Plus. But overall, I love the car. The twist, or my question is, I want to upgrade to a Tesla Model Y for more space to haul things around in. When would be the best time to buy? When would the best time to buy be? That's what he says. Do you think the Juniper refresh will happen in 2025 and inventory clearouts will lead to good deals? Are end of year deals likely to be good this year? Any other thoughts or tips on the best time? I don't qualify for either the new or used EV tax credit, although I might qualify for the new car one next year. So do you think incentives would apply to used inventory cars from Tesla? I'm in America, in Virginia, and go on occasional road trips, but overall only 5,000 miles per year, mostly around town. So I'd be going for either base or long range variants. I prefer driving cars into the ground, so not a fan of leases. Looking forward to hearing what your crystal ball shows. Shahad. All right. Well, what do you think about Shahad's situation here? So he basically he's got his mind set on a Model Y.
Yes.
And good. It looks like he's not, doesn't need to have the latest and greatest Highland, or not Highland, but the Juniper refresh.
Yeah.
Right. But he's looking at maybe the timing of that car to coincide when the standard one now is, maybe receive some discounts, or maybe the year event. What do you think?
I like Shahad. It sounds like me. It's all about the value. So Tesla often provides big discounts at the end of quarter and end of year. I'm not sure it makes a huge difference end of year, but certainly end of quarter. So if you want to buy a Tesla from Tesla, these discounts can apply to new and used inventory. They just want to get as many cars on the books as possible, which juices their numbers for that quarter. It's just the downside of being a publicly traded company and needing as many numbers as possible per quarter. And there is always, and has always been, and I suspect always will be, an end of quarter push. And it's possibly year end as well, but certainly end of every quarter. Look, we've seen 1.99% interest rates, 2.99 on the Model Y here in the UK right now, 0% interest rate deals in the past. And if you can get all your ducks in a row, so get your financing sorted, know the spec that you want, but be flexible on it. Like, you sound like you a bit like me. Yeah, I would happily compromise my spec choices, my preferences, in favor of a better deal, and get yourself ready. Then, last month of the quarter, you'll start to see things moving. The last 2 weeks of a quarter is when you've got to be ready to go for it. And you want to just get absolutely ready, and that's when you're going to get the best deals. It might not be discounts this time. It might, the time you go to do it, it might be, hey, we're giving you 10,000 free supercharging miles or other things. Often it's been discounting. Sometimes it's incentives. Sometimes it's both. Model Y refresh, Juniper, yep, coming in early 2025. Is it going to be wildly different? No, I think it'll be a very, very good iteration on what is already a very, very good vehicle. So yes, it will mean existing ones are discounted because they want to get rid of them. We saw that happen with Model Y, Model 3 Highland. And what Tesla are really good at doing is, while you don't currently qualify for the EV tax credit, you might next year. If you qualify, it's a big decrease in the cost of a Model Y. And Tesla has been very good at getting as many vehicles as they're possible, or the range, to qualify. So get really clear on that. So will you or won't you qualify? And if that needs to sit down and work your finances out and be like, you know what, it's borderline, I probably won't, then don't worry about it. If you will, it's such a big thing worth waiting for. Used inventory, Tesla do offer incentives on used. Could be a good deal. You get a better deal buying privately, but you might, as we talked earlier on the podcast, want the confidence of a CPO car. And so with your low annual mileage, anything suitable. And as I've said 1,000 times on my own podcast over the last 5 or 6 years, if you can get the range, get the range. And people are like, ah, but what about the planet? And you're carrying around a bigger battery and it's inefficient and the car's heavier and it's wearing the tires more and you've got more resources in your vehicle than you need 9 times out of 10. And I'm very sympathetic to those views and I've highlighted them many times. But my friend, I come back to it. If you can get the range, get the range. Get the longest range Tesla you can get, because you will never, ever, there will never be a road trip ever in your life when you go, man, am I pleased I got the short range car. It's just never happened in the history of owning an EV. So if you can get the car, get the long range, please get as many miles as you possibly can, even if you don't need them. And yes, I'm sympathetic to all the other factors that factor into that. You sound like me. You like long-term value. And it's all about the value. So, yeah, if you can go used, go private, you're going to get the best deal. Right. But if you sound like you really want to get from Tesla, and I agree, you get a great warranty, and you want to wait to the last 2 weeks of the month and then go. Be ready to go and do it. Refresh news, carry on watching the Batteries Included podcast every Friday morning at 9:30 for the latest EV news. Did you like
that? Thank you for that, Martin. That was very nice, very radio announcery. So yeah, I just pulled up this Tesla inventory page. So that's a good place to look for this is brand new Teslas that also use, but the new ones. So I'm thinking, like, take a look at what deals are being offered in the second half of December. Like, take a look and see if, like, there's free supercharging or free FSD or free, you know, often they'll throw a bunch of stuff in. And if it's worth as much as $7,500, maybe that might be the way you want to go. But I would kind of want to, like, just hang in there until the new year. But, I mean, if you think you can get that, the $7,500 federal incentive in for next year, I would definitely take advantage of that. But, you know, if you can't, then yeah, definitely look at those last 2 weeks of December coming up for a deal. Or I guess, well, these couple of weeks coming up too, right? So January, February, September, October. Yeah, so the end of September. So it's just a couple of weeks from now, end of quarter. So that might give you an idea of what flavor or how much deals, how big a deal you can get, you know, at the end of December as well, you know, because I feel like the end of December is usually got more, they throw it more in there, you know, to incentivize a purchase at the end of the year than to do at the end of quarters even.
It feels like I've had more stories over the years, and, you know, it doesn't happen anymore, but many people in the Tesla community would go along and help at you know, delivery events and things like that. And they'd go along and offer advice because there's not enough Tesla staff. You know, and I know Tesla staff that have done handovers and, you know, the buyers say, oh, you know, is this your job? Or are you making chit chat? They're like, no, I'm one of the engineers. Like, I get called in to help do handover at end of quarter for the last week and stuff. So people get pulled in from across the business. Tesla fans used to, it doesn't happen anymore. But when the company was smaller, particularly in California, I think, you know, people would go along and help out. And then you can spend then an hour with a new buyer just talking about this is how you supercharge and this is how you use the car and things like that. And but it was always end of quarter. And I think it was always end of year. It was always people doing it around New Year's, January, you know, December 31st, as many cars being just signed off as possible. So I agree with Dom. I think it feels, I've got no data points on this, it feels like end of year. Could be, if you're not ready to go in September, then you could do this December.
So I think when the Juniper refresh comes out, if he waits until the new year, there should be like new cars in inventory that aren't the Juniper refresh, like the original, you know, the 2020, the regular style, you know, without the upgrades. Like the Juniper upgrade is going to be nice, you know, a little bit better turn feel and ventilated seats, screen in the back. It's just a few kind of nice. It'll be kind of nice.
There's no doubt Highland, Model 3 Highland is a significant improvement on what the outgoing Model 3 was. But if you own one of those, I wouldn't say you've got to sell it immediately and upgrade to a Highland. It's just a very, very good mid-cycle refresh for the Model 3. I got loads, because I'm on the mailing lists and what have you. I got loads of emails from Tesla UK saying, hey, buy a Model 3 before, when was it? It was either end of January this year or, you know, end of November. Whenever Highland, because like, if you follow EV news in any form, you knew Highland was coming. They never made reference to it in the email. It's like, hey, great deals on the Model 3. And they were fantastic deals on Model 3. Now, I saw those and I thought, oh, that's obviously because Highland is coming on the, you know, the 1st of February, whatever the date was. And I think it was around the time that we were buying our car in January. It was around that time. And we you know, it's too expensive and we didn't want a new car. So it wasn't useful for us. But it was certainly an eye-catching, I think it wasn't a discount on the price. Tesla don't tend to do huge discounts off the price. But they'll do things like discounts on financing and stuff like that, which is a very hard cost to their business, don't get me wrong. But
they're throwing free supercharging and things like that.
Yeah, which again is a cost, but it's more of a benefit to you in terms of how you use the vehicle, how you finance the vehicle.
Right. All right. I think I pretty much nails that down. So that's one show in the books.
Another one done.
All right. So I guess that brings us to the end of our show. If you're looking for your own bespoke EV recommendation, drop us a line at batterybargains@batteriesincludedpodcast.com. If you have any questions or comments, please leave them below or get in touch with us on the social media platform of your choice. Don't forget, if you like the show, please give us a thumbs up. Don't forget, if you didn't like the show, please give us a thumbs up. Click subscribe, tap that bell icon for notifications, and we'll see you all again very soon. Thank you for joining us. Appreciate it. Great to have you all in the comments here and helping us out. So until next time, ciao.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.